Last week I talked about the vocation to the religious life, and this week I'm going to talk about the vocation to the holy priesthood. We think about, you know, all three readings today have something to do with calling. Isaiah felt himself unworthy, so did Peter in the Gospel. And St. Paul mentioned that by the grace of God, I become what I am. And so, because of the grace of God, men are being called to the altar to offer sacrifice to God. And the sacraments of holy orders, one of the seven sacraments, Jesus at the Last Supper, he said, "Do this in memory of me." Jesus gave a command, but also conferred power to the apostles. He gave them a command to remember his suffering and death through the sacrifice of the Mass, but also he gave them the power to change bread and wine into his body and blood. And so the sacrifice of the cross is made present each time Mass is celebrated. And then on the day of his resurrection, Jesus breathed on the apostles and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. The sins you forgive will be forgiven, and the sins you retain shall be retained." And by doing that, Jesus gave the apostles and their successors the power to forgive sin. And then at the ascension, Jesus told the apostles, "Go out to the whole world, teach all nations, teach them to observe what I command you, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And so the threefold functions of Jesus also manifest in the ascension, when he told the apostles to go out and teach, that the prophetic function of teaching to help the people to practice what Jesus command, to observe what Jesus command. That's the kingly function, to guide, to govern, to rule, to shepherd. But also to baptize, to give the sacrament. That's the priestly function, to sanctify, to make holy, especially by means of the sacraments. So the priests continue the work of Christ to sanctify, to teach, and to govern. Paul and Barnabas, they were ordained by the elders to be bishops, and Paul himself ordained Timothy. And so we see that the priesthood, the power of holy order, is passed on through the laying on of hand by ordination. Now, of course, last time when mentioned about religious vocation, I mentioned for somebody to be a religious, that person will have three things: good health, good sense, and also good will. And these three things are also required for the vocation of the priesthood. Now, here are some signs of vocation to the priesthood. First one is the person should be capable of living habitually in the state of grace. We all know that when we are baptized, we are in the state of grace. One thing only will make us lost the state of grace, and that is mortal sin. And so, if a person always committing mortal sin, the person is not suitable to be a priest. But the person able to be in the state of grace, you know, for a long time, that's important. Because the priest is called to sanctify other people. And so it's really important for the priest himself to be able to live an upright moral life, to be able to be in the state of grace, stay away from mortal sin for a long, long time. And so to be in the state of grace habitually is important. And then the second one is that attraction to the priesthood. So what are the signs of attraction to the priesthood? A person who have a virtuous life, for example, love to serve Mass, frequent confession and communion, love to teach catechism, helping others to be good Catholics. So those qualities, you know, is manifest in a young man, they can be signs to indicate that a young man have a possible vocation to the priesthood. But also, as mentioned last time, for religious vocation, there should be goodwill. And so, another sign is that the desire to be a priest is out of right motive, right intention, to save his own soul and the souls of other people, to save souls. St. John Vianney, the model parish priest, his desire to be a priest was because of his desire of saving souls, to help souls to get to heaven. That's the intention why a young man wants to be a priest, to be able to help souls to make to heaven, to be able to become holy through serving others, through prayer. Now, of course, grace builds on nature. A person needs to have good health and sufficient ability to succeed in the studies, and his qualifications must be accepted by the bishop. And so before ordination, there will be the official call issued by the bishop to call a young man to holy orders. Now, according to canon law, to study to be a priest, there need to be at least 2 years of philosophy and 4 years of theology. And normally, if a person enters seminary right after high school, it will actually take 8 years, because of the 2 years philosophy, we will also include other courses to make that a bachelor degree of philosophy, and also involve history and some languages as well. And then the 4 year theology with dogma, moral theology, sacred scriptures, history, liturgy, canon law, different kind of subjects. I must say that, you know, those study, if you are serious, is not that difficult. I myself study at BCIT for computer, and then when I studied philosophy, I found philosophy more enjoyable than computer. And then when I studied theology, I found theology is more enjoyable than philosophy. And then when I work in a parish, I find it even more enjoyable than all of these things above. So life gets a bit more at ease. But of course, you got more responsibility too, so that's why gray hair doesn't come with no reason. Anyhow, now, when we think about the priesthood, the chief supernatural authority of the priest are two important things. First is to change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. You think about, even you got 1,000 angels surrounding a bread, no angel can change the piece of bread into the body of Christ. Only the priest can do that by saying the word, "This is my body, this is my blood," to change the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. This is a tremendous responsibility and dignity to be able to change that into the body of Christ and offer up the body of Christ as sacrifice to the eternal Father. And then another important authority for the priest is to forgive sin in confession. Think about that. You know, if the priest is not acting in the person of Christ, you would not go to the priest for confession. To hear sin and to forgive sin is something belongs to God. But God, in his goodness, designates that power to priests. So priests acting in the person of Christ, able to receive confession and to impart forgiveness. This is what is given to the priest, to forgive sin. And so those are the two important spiritual authority of the priest. But also think about, when you have authority, there's also responsibility. So for the priest, there are three important kinds of responsibility. The first one is the responsibility of celibacy, that the priest is leading a chaste life. Now, in the early church, the apostles themselves were married men. And many of the early church priests and bishops, they were married men ordained to be priests or bishop. But in the early church, it was already the practice. If they are married men already, they will be with agreement with the wife. They will be living as brother and sister from that time on. And so the wife continues to support the husband, but the husband will be free from sexual intimacy with the wife, so that he would be chaste in mind and body and able to be effectively praying and intercessing for the people and offer sacrifice for the people. So that became eventually the rule of celibacy in the church, that the priest is to be pure in mind and body, so that in a good position, free from the world, able to offer prayer, intercession, and sacrifice for the salvation of the people. And then, because prayer is so important for the priest, so the second obligation would be to pray the divine office. The divine office is the official prayer of the church, the public prayer of the church, with prayers, psalms, hymns, canticles, passages from Bible, from the writings of the church fathers, from the saints and church documents. And so in the divine office, there are seven times that we can pray the office. You know, the office of reading can be prayed any time. Some monasteries do that around midnight. And then the morning prayer, the 9 o'clock mid-morning prayer, the noontime prayer, the mid-afternoon, evening prayer, and night prayer. So there are seven times a day. Usually a priest fulfills the obligation by doing five of the seven offices. But of course, for those desire, we can always do all seven offices, which is a wonderful way to sanctify the different times of the day and also to pray for the people. So that's a really important obligation for the priest. So we see me say Mass, but that's not all that I do. I also pray the office. So when I pray the office, of course, I do pray for all of you when I pray the office. And then the third responsibility besides celibacy and praying the divine office is the position, is the duties of the position held by the priest. Now, a priest can retire from a position, but never retire from the priesthood. So the position might be, for example, myself is the pastor of Precious Blood. Some may be the chaplain of a hospital, or chaplaincy for school, or teaching as professor, or, you know, doing other different tasks in the church. Now, quite often, the priest that you see is parish priest. And so think about the parish priest's responsibility, pastoral responsibility, to teach the faith, to give the sacrament, to make sure the organization of the church are running properly. And also, we have, in a sense, we're also responsible for the buildings. You know, if this is leaking or things like that, I have to make sure it's, you know, get fixed. And then parishes, they are the backbones of the church. And so quite often, many of the priests you see belong to the parish priest. Now, there are two kinds of priests, though. One kind of priest, they can join a religious community, like the religious life, and then they become priests. So they are religious priests, they join community, and they become a priest within a religious order, like the Jesuit, Franciscan, Dominican. But another kind of priests are the kind that directly under the bishop and called the diocesan priest. So the parish priests in the last number of years in this parish have been diocesan priests. So like Father Brown, and then Father John, and then Father Larkin, Father Mark, and myself, we all belong to under the Bishop of Vancouver. So we are all diocesan priests. And many of the diocesan priests become parish priests because, you know, the backbones of the diocese are the different parishes. So many of the parish priests are the diocesan priests in the diocese. Some spiritual writer pointed out that priests are like angels on earth. And some saints even say, you know, if I see a priest and an angel, I would greet the priest first, and then and then the angel. Because the saints, they saw the tremendous dignity of the priesthood. But also we think about the tremendous responsibility. There's always a sense of unworthiness. And there's always a sense of awfulness. You know, you feel wonder and awe when you think about what you are doing. You know, sometimes at the end of the day, I think about what I did during the day. It's filled with wonder and awe, you know, to able to forgive sin, able to give the last rite to somebody dying, to prepare for heaven, able to give the comfort to the sick people, to give the Holy Eucharist, you know. It's a tremendous responsibility, but it's a really joyful vocation. And so it's important for us to pray for vocations and also support young people to consider vocation to the priesthood and religious life. As mentioned last time, St. John Bosco do believe that one in every 3 to 4 young people, that is the seed of vocation. But oftentimes, because we are too immersed into the world, we are too detracted by the pleasure of the world, many of those seeds didn't realize. And so if we are a prayerful people, if we really encourage people to think about the vocation, for sure we will have much more priests and religious from our parish. And so it's important for us to keep praying for vocation, but also to encourage young people to come close to Jesus through regular prayer and also the practice of the faith.